This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Friday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn, 387, up 7. May corn, 394 and a quarter, up 7. July corn, 401, up 7.5. March soybeans, 991 and 3 quarters, up 3 quarters. May soybeans, 997 and a half, up a quarter. July soybeans, 1003, down a quarter. March wheat, 532 and 3 quarters, no change. May wheat, 534 and 3 quarters, down 1. July wheat, 538 and a quarter, down 1 and 3 quarters. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday's Grain Market Report. Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Friday afternoon. Exports added firmness to corn prices, but cancellation of export contracts weakened soybean prices. And in northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 7 to 8 cents at 354 to 372, while soybean bids were steady at 941 to 975. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 7 higher at 355 to 378. Soybean bids were mostly 1 to 2 stronger at 962 to 992. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 7 to 8 cents at 363 to 379. Soybean bids ended mixed at 971 to 990, and the wheat bids ended mostly steady at 433 to 510. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 1 to 6 higher at 990 to 1012. Basis ended steady to 5 cents higher at 2 under to 20 over the March. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 346.20 to 366.20 per ton. That's down 50 cents, with basis steady range from 20 to 40 over the March. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 7 cents higher at 374 to 389, with basis steady range from 13 under to 2 over the March. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 7 to 9 higher at 372 to 384, with basis steady to 2 cents higher at 15 to 3 under the March. Soybeans down 2 cents at 987 and 994, with basis 3 cents lower, ranging from 5 under to 2 over the March. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place our producer corn bids 6 to 7 higher at 395 to 399. These same elevators lowered their soybean prices 1 to 3 cents, with quotations at 1013 to 1014. Soft wheat ended steady for the day at 529 to 538, and Milo ended 7 cents higher at 447 to 452. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 362 to 385. New crop soybean bids range from 920 up to 950. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 370 up to 385, new crop soybean bids at 933 to 950, and in the southern part of the state on Friday, new crop corn bids range from 350 up to 385, new crop soybean bids at 918 up to 945, and wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those bids range from 492 up to 526. That completes our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Friday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. February live cattle, 154.45, up 25 cents. April live cattle, 152.95, up 15 cents. June live cattle, 146.47, up 2 cents. January feeder cattle, 214.10, down $1.55. March feeder cattle, 204.85, down 75 cents. April feeder cattle, 206.45, up 10 cents. February lean hogs, 74.50, down $1.12. April lean hogs, 77.67, down 67 cents. May lean hogs, 83.37, down $1.57. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday the 16th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 12 cents higher. In a range of $62 to $73 with a weighted average carcass price of $71.03. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, Slaughter Sows Trading Steady with moderate demand for moderate to light offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $36 to $39. 4 to 5 weighed at $38 to $42. 5 to 6 weighed at $41 to $44. And over 600 pounds, $42 to $46. In the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gelts of country buying points are trading steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $45 to $49. Receipts for Illinois hogs today have totaled 12,333. The Carthage Livestock Auction Report for Thursday, January 15th, had receipts of 1,510. Trade was active with moderate to good demand. Feeder steers, medium and large, 4 weight at 290 to 311, 5 weight at 248 to 289, 6 weight at 215 to 229, 7 weight at 198, 50 to 220, 50, and 8 weights at 190 to 191, 50. Feeder heifers, medium and large, 4 weight at 231 to 248, 5 weight at 217 to 238, 6 weight at 209 to 227, 50, and 7 weights at 194 to 210, 50. The Schuyler Livestock Auction Report for Wednesday, January 14th, had receipts of 935. Slaughter steers choice at 160 and a quarter to 171.75. Slaughter heifers choice at 161 and a quarter to 168. Feeder steers medium and large 4 weight at 315 to 332, 50. 5 weight at 242, 50 to $300. 6 weight at 220 to 256. 7 weights at 220 to 225. Feeder heifers medium and large 3 weight at 297 to 330, 4 weight at 275 to 312.50, 5 weight at 230 to 253, and 6 weights at 222 to 228. Feeder bulls medium and large 4 weight at 338 and some 5 weights at 242. On to the Walnut Livestock Auction Report for Thursday the 15th, had receipts of 515. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold $7 lower. Slaughter steers choice at 158 to 165 and a quarter. Slaughter Holstein steers choice at 143 to 150. Heifers choice at 158 to 165, 50. Slaughter cows average dressing breakers at 95.50 to 103. Boners average dressing at 95 to 104. And leans average dressing at 75 to 81. Slaughter bulls average dressing at 115 to 125.50. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 163. On a dress basis at 259 to 262. Heifers on live basis traded at 163 and on a dress basis at 256 to 265. The National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 256 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $84.37, which was 48 cents higher. The National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $260.45, which was $2.43 lower. Select carcasses at $250.84, which was $3.23 lower. The estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 92,000 compared to 95,000 last week, 106,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 420,000 compared to 367,000 last week and 426,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. Lipizzan horses from the Spanish Riding School in Vienna are among some of the most famous horses in the world, but there is actually a privately owned Lipizzan farm right here in Illinois. I spoke with Esther Bonanno of Temple Farms, the program director for the Temple Lipizzans.
We have a breeding, training, and performance center and 70 Lipizzan horses. There's probably 1,200 Lipizzans in the United States, but we're certainly the largest herd here in the States, and last time we checked, we're actually the largest privately owned herd of Lipizzans in the world.
And what does it mean to be a privately owned Lipizzan herd? How are most other Lipizzan farms operated?
It's a good question, and it's unusual, but they're in Europe. In several of the countries, the herds are run by the states. They're called state studs.
That's a very interesting dynamic. And why did you choose to get into Lipizzan horses? Has this been a family business, or is this something you started?
No, this is a family business. I'm actually the granddaughter of the original founders, which is Temple and Esther Smith.
And why did your relatives decide to go into raising Lipizzans?
Well, it was a big idea that came from their first trip to Europe. My grandfather started a manufacturing company here in Chicago about 70 years ago. And when he and my grandmother made their first trip to Europe, they had an opportunity to go to the Spanish Riding School in Vienna. And, you know, the short of it was that they were quite inspired by the horses and that my grandfather was a big thinker. So rather than bringing back a postcard, they came back with the idea to not just import the horses, but actually to bring the whole culture here to the United States. And that was in 1958.
So beyond the horses, there's also a cultural aspect of this?
Correct. So the horses that we imported, Lipizzans, are not only in Austria, but they are best known for performing and being for hundreds and hundreds of years at the Spanish Riding School in Vienna. The Lipizzan horse has its history in what we call classical dressage, which is essentially the artistic representation of former cavalry movements. Lipizzans are known a lot for doing highly choreographed, almost ballet-like performances. It was the performance of the imperial court, like ballet, of the past. Lipizzans are known a lot for these jumps in the air that they do, that is called the high school movements, and they are trainable because of their stature and their smarts to do these things.
So at your farm, do you train your horses in these aerobatics?
Yes. So, well, the aerobatics, I have to try to not call it aerobatics because we do like to distinguish ourselves a bit from trick training here, because the process of what we call classical dressage training, which is really what we do here, we have 37 horses in training, is a process that starts at the time that they are 4 years old, and it's a lot like how a young ballerina might start, with very careful muscle training well before you allow them to put on their toe shoes. That's the case with these horses. They are late to mature, and they have a huge capacity for growth in their muscles, but you would not even introduce what we're calling acrobatics or the airs above the ground until they were a good 4 or 5 years into their training. And yes, we do that here. We have the main airs above the ground movements are called the levade, where a horse sits back on their haunches and lifts up their front legs. There is the courbette, where a horse goes onto their hind legs and does several hops forward as the interpretation of an intimidating battle maneuver. And then there's the capriole, where a horse jumps up with his front legs and kicks out violently with their hind legs.
And this is some fascinating work. I'm sure if anyone has ever seen these horses perform, it just takes their breath away. But it must also be very interesting to train them. And first off, how long generally is this type of career for a Lipizzan horse?
So, you know, all of our horses are born here on the farm, and they have the very important business of growing up, which is in a herd, which we do here on the property. And they are out there with their birth year partners until they are 3.5 to 4 years old. So they begin their training at about 4, and then they may reach the pinnacle of their training at about 10 or 11, and then they may be able to train and perform into their early 20s. So it's actually quite a long time. And I like to make the comparison to people to racehorses, who are often racing at 2 years old and could even be retired by 3. And these guys are just getting started at that age.
That is an interesting contrast and just goes to show the difference in the breeds, really. A racehorse is generally done with their career by 4, whereas a Lipizzan is starting.
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, I remind people a lot that horses were domesticated for a reason, quite a few reasons, but, you know, besides transportation and agricultural work and work on the battlefield, but that the conformation and the size and the intelligence of the horse is bred very specifically for these reasons. So there's a reason a draft horse is so large. It's to pull a plow, you know, and these guys very athletic and they're more of a hotter horse. They sort of have the ability to kind of have big bursts of energy when they need to, and they're a little bit smaller in stature. So, in other words, the conformation of the horse is very, very much designed by what their purpose was in the past, and we try to maintain the original standards of the breed that were established over 400 years ago.
How do you really get into training the horses to do more of the advanced maneuvers that they're trained to do? You went over a few of them, the jumping on the hind legs. Mm-hmm. How do you train a horse to do that on command?
It's a process, and I guess the easiest way I can describe it without getting into technical dressage terms is that it's a collection of energy. We use this word in dressage called collection, where a horse is able to move more and more of their balance and their weight onto their hind end. So if you take a look at a horse, you can kind of see that, you know, the majority of their muscles are there on their hind end, right? So as you reach the higher levels of dressage, what's called collection is a horse's ability to carry their weight on their hind end. So essentially, the more they are able to gather that energy onto the hind end, the horse actually, through the ultimate collection, will jump. I mean, it is sort of almost a natural thing because those hind legs are like springs.
So it's very natural for them. I have heard that, but it's nice to hear it attested by someone who works with them.
Yeah, and you actually do see the foals doing these things out in the field. It's pretty hilarious. We catch it all the time.
I'm sure that is an adorable sight.
Remind people. People will say, you know, my horse did a capriole today, and these movements they're doing are the most highly trained horses. It looks like a horse being naughty, but it's actually an extremely highly trained horse.
Very true. Very true. It's very hard to work with these horses performing these moves unless they are highly trained.
Exactly.
Now, at your facility, do you put on shows or go on tour? Do you show off your horses to the general public?
Yeah, so, you know, as our main, as a part of our educational initiative and then also as our main source of revenue here, we put on public performances every summer. And those start in June. This year, I believe we start on the 14th of June. And we have evening and matinee performances, and this is an exhibition that shows our program from the foals all the way up to the most highly trained horses. So we start with our mares and foals, and you get to see carriage driving, you get to see the young stallions in their training, and you get to see an example of what modern-day dressage competitive riding might look like. And then you get to see choreographed patterns of riding, and they're all set to music, and it's all, for the most part, outdoors. I'm assuming we don't have bad weather, then we go into our indoor arena. But it's quite a spectacle, and every summer, yeah, we bring thousands of people here to the farm, and everybody gets to come into the stables afterwards and pet some noses.
Well, it sounds like it would be a wonderful way to spend a day or an evening. Now, much of the focus when it comes to Lipizzans is on the stallions. Everybody generally knows them as the Lipizzaner stallions. Mm-hmm. So what happens with the mares?
Okay, well, we're a breeding operation here. So every horse here has a job. And in the Spanish riding school, they have a lot more horses, but it was out of tradition mostly that we are keeping our stallions in training. Also because although the mares are capable of doing much of this work, the testosterone in the males gives them a greater capacity to do the higher level movements. In addition, the stallions are really show-offs. I mean, they love to perform in a way that not as many of the mares do, I should say. So there's that. And then in addition here, for us, our mares are in foal when they're of age. And it's hard to keep them in a training program when they're going to be pregnant most years.
And not only do you work with these horses and train them through their lives, but you also have an internship program. Is that correct?
We do. We have a working student program, which is a part of our educational program here. Because there aren't a lot of places, especially in the United States, that you can learn classical dressage, this is a place for a young person to come in and to have an opportunity to learn with trainers, each with over 30 years of experience, and also with horses with years and years of experience. to learn about classical dressage training, as well as stable management, as well as equine care. The kind of best profile of a working student here is someone who generally is interested in potentially becoming a trainer themselves. And you know, you do all the care involved with these horses and then get daily lessons on Lipizzan or stallions, or in some cases mares, to be able to sit on a Grand Prix level dressage horse. It's an amazing thing that happens because you see the horses teaching the student. And that's actually very much how it's designed at the Spanish Riding School in Vienna, is that the younger riders are learning from the horses.
Well, it seems like a very valuable learning experience for those who are able to get involved with this program.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone wants to learn more about your programs or your farm, how can they do so?
They can go to templefarms.com, or they can make a visit this summer to our summer performances. And we also do larger groups come in and can have a behind-the-scenes tour in the off-season.
Again, that was Esther Bonanno, Program Director for the Temple Lipizzans at Temple Farms. That's all for this Saturday's Horse Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.